Well, it's good to get to preach again. I really do enjoy it. It definitely forces you to study, too. But let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd ask you this question. Is your Savior worth sending to the world? Is your Savior worth sending to a lost world? Isn't Christ worth giving out and sharing and sending to the world? Amen?
Amen.
Now, is our Christianity, our experience in Christ, is that worth sharing? By that I mean, was our day yesterday, the victory we walked in last week and last evening and so on, is that what the world needs and wants? Was our life that picture of the power of the gospel lived out? And sometimes there's a discrepancy between the two. We know the world needs our Savior, but sometimes the world's not really looking for our Christianity, our own experience in the two. And so God has made a way, as He works on us, to unite those that the power of Christ is being lived out as in us in a, with a holy life. So tonight I want to look at our text here in 1 Corinthians 15, and let's begin in verse number 21. We'll get some context. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet of God shall, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, Christ did away with both of those for the believer. But verse 56, giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's just pray real quick, and let's think tonight about the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Dear Father, we do just thank you for this opportunity once again to preach your word. We hear it so much that sometimes it just, we don't get all out of it we should, but I pray tonight our hearts would be opened, our ears attentive, your Spirit at work in just a really free and mobile way to work in our hearts to teach us from your word, to make them alive to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So there's three things I want to bring out tonight. One is the idea of grace. Grace being God's work on man's behalf, and then man's response to God's grace, which would be faith, and then the kind of the bigger picture, how Christ is the believer's life and how this ties all together, and then some additional thoughts or questions as we think of our victory in our daily walk. So let's begin with God's work on man's behalf, and that's grace. You see, the whole meaning of grace is God is doing something on our behalf which we can't do for ourselves. And we certainly don't merit it. That's all in that wonderful meaning of grace. And so it's something that we can't do for ourselves. I want you to see, though, that grace is bigger than just an influence from God or something that God bestows, but it has, I believe it's part of His very nature. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So it's this God of all grace. If you remember in John chapter 1, it says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It says, "Of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." If you go to verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It was the very nature of God, just like His nature is to love. this grace is not only God's omnipotent work on our behalf, but it's his very nature toward us. So, it being the very nature of God, it's going to triumph, isn't it? It's going to bear those same characteristics. By that, we find what Christ said to Paul. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." You know, living in the world today, that's something that's a promise we can stand on. John 16, Jesus said, you know, they're going to, in verse 33, he talked about how they were going to be persecuted and all these things. But he said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So the grace of God carries with it the whole power of God. Now, this question, we often talk about how the world's getting worse or it's, you know, sin abounds. And that's certainly true. But God did destroy the world once because of sin, you know, so he hasn't gone that far again yet. So I think it may be more blatant sin than we've seen in a while. But remember when there were 7,000 prophets that, you know, God said, "I have 7,000 people in Israel," to Elijah. Just 7,000. I believe we have more than that in this land who are trusting and fearing God. I hope we have more than that. Yes. We haven't got as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah yet, just one just person. So, but even so, we're told in Romans chapter 5 that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we're left with that excuse that God himself is undertaking in our lives to give us everything we need to really be victorious. So that's grace, God's work on man's behalf. Real quickly here, someone has given this outline, if you would call it, three words. And I'm borrowing that tonight. They said, as we think of God's grace in regards to our salvation, they said we have a three-part salvation. The first is justification. And all of this is by grace. I'm going to show you that you know it, that we're saved by grace, but I want to build on top of this foundation that we know to help us understand some things about the rest of our Christian life. So we're justified by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In the book of Titus, he says in chapter 2, verse 11, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Then he goes by in chapter 3 and tells us in verse 4 and 5 how that is not by our righteousness, not by our works. And it gets down to verse 7, it says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see God's grace in our salvation, that it's all of what God did. It's not of what we did. And there's obvious reasons for that. And briefly, some of them are any payment for sins has to be four things at least. It has to be accepted by God. And we don't have anything that is accepted by God, but God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." It has to meet all God's requirements. And I'm thankful that Jesus, you know, he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He met all those requirements. It has to be sufficient to cover my sins. And Jesus was that one sacrifice for sins forever, was he not? And then he has to be enough to fit us for heaven. And that's what he's doing. He not only prepares a place, but he prepares a people, prepares us for that. And we don't have any, this is all God's grace. And we know that. We believe that. I hope you've trusted in that. And that's how we're saved. So this is freedom from sin's penalty. But we go on to talk. We're going to skip from when we're saved to when we pass this life with the rapture. And we're going to go to what we call glorification. I'm using their three words tonight. But that's when we, you know, pass into the next life. Or are called home with the Lord. And this too is a work of grace, is it not? Jesus says in John that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's all the Lord's work. We don't even know the time. We couldn't worry about it if we wanted to. He tells us to be ready. But he's coming back. We're told in Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend. With the trump, the voice of the archangel, and so on, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord, shall ever be with the Lord in the air. Rough translation there. But it's I like, it says he caught up, not jump up, right? But it's, again, the Lord's taking care of that, and we understand that. The Lord's done all that's necessary for our past salvation if we're saved, and for the future. And the kind of the crux of the message tonight about victory is, what about between then and the future? How does grace relate to that, and grace relate to our victory in Christ? And that's what may be called our sanctification. I'm using that word loosely to describe that whole experience of our walk, our daily walk, and growing in that likeness to Christ, sanctification. And we're told, I'll give you a verse on that, but we'll kind of circle around that later. But 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of God, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And once again, what Christ has made to us, we don't earn, it's a gift. Here he says, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our first premise, if you would, that grace is God's work on our behalf. That how God's work on man's behalf is grace. Secondly, man's response to God's grace is faith. How do we receive grace? It's faith. Remember Romans 5, 1 and 2? He says, being justified by his grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So faith allows us to access what God did, that personal acceptance. We know this in salvation. I kind of just covered it, but the Bible testifies again and again, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So that faith in Christ makes the grace that God is extending mine. And so Jesus finishes the work of salvation, but it doesn't necessarily affect me in the way it can as until I personalize it through faith. Even though it may affect me in the world I live, you know, certainly God's grace does. So we see that our salvation was received, this grace in our salvation was received by faith. And in our redemption, we're told that Christ in you is a hope of glory. It's called a hope, a blessed hope, and it's called the promise of his coming. And once again, those are terms where faith is used to receive that and believe it. I don't have to worry about when I trust in what God said, exercise faith in that, I know he'll have that taken care of. I know I can trust the future with him. So as we step back here, now I want to look at what about in the meantime, our sanctification, if we would call it that, our daily walk, how does grace and faith mix with that? We know that, you know, God has grace, and we know that we should, you know, use faith, the just shall live by faith, but I want to point out some verses that break this down to show that it's of grace, and then it's by faith. So, in our text, 1 Corinthians 15:57, look at that again, it says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. That sounds like grace, right? Salvation's a gift, and it's by grace. This victory God wants to give us, he says it's by faith. Now, I know in the context, he's talking broader than just about this, but I believe it includes it. But he's talking about that final victory over death and so on. But I believe it incorporates this daily victory as well. In Romans 8:2, he says, but the law of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So he says, hath made me. That's something that God did for me. That sounds like grace. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is the common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the temptation comes, but God's grace is present to give us the victory over that temptation. So once again, we see the grace of God. And as noted, faith is the way we receive grace. So we rest on those promises God gave us. Romans 8:37, one of those promises, it says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. More than a conqueror. In Romans 10:17, we learn that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, that I think it's important. I think my dad was preaching on one time talking about that word, rhema, a promise. Though it incorporates the word of God, it also means man shall live by every word of God, rhema. Those Jesus quoted specific words, promises, verses. And so you know, sometimes you're facing something and it's like, I believe the Bible, but I need a word of God. I need a promise. Like Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, right? I need that specific promise. And so though faith rests on this grace that God is offering to us through the word. Now, though this seems like it's facts, but there's something even better than all this. And there's something that it does more, because we can fail to receive grace and faith, but God did more than that to make us conquerors. God did more than that to give us victory. And this is what he did. Colossians 3:14, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Christ, if you're saved, God did more than just, you know, give you some grace to help you along in your life. But he indwells us by his spirit. And this indwelling is so personable, so real, that the whole Godhead is manifested in us. John 14, you read that, it says that Christ and the Father dwell in us through the Holy Spirit in such ways that God that uses in his word phrases such as God which dwelleth in you, Christ is in you, my spirit that dwelleth in you, in a reality. As not just a figure of speech, but somehow he's made it a reality through his indwelling spirit. And I don't understand all that, how it is, but I certainly believe it. So God has given you a winning life, and that life is Jesus Christ. Now, we may not have fully known this or understood it or experienced it all the way, but nonetheless, that's what God's word says we are. And I want to go through some of those same verses and others and point out Christ in them, and how he is, you can't disconnect Christ from the victory God wants to give you. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says that of God are ye in Christ Jesus, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So Christ is made that to us. Once again, in Romans 8:2, it says, but the law of life in Jesus Christ had made me free from the law of sin and death. Once again, this victory is in Christ. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I believe that's how that finishes. And when you tie that with what Jesus said over in John 8:36, where he said, if the Son hath made you free, then are you free indeed. And Jesus talks there about the freedom in salvation as part of that discussion, where we see that the Son makes us free. He sets us free, and we are free. It'd be a shame if someone was in prison, they were let free, but they kept living in prison because they didn't believe it. They didn't think they were really free. Too good to be true, but Jesus has really done that for us. He's made us free. 1 Corinthians 15:57, once again, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't remember the exact wording. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Once again, it's the cross of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Once again, our victory is in Christ. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless in his presence with exceeding joy. I don't remember all that verse. I have a habit of writing parts of verses, trusting my memory. It talks about how he's going to keep us from falling. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him. through Christ. So what I want you to see is we looked at grace, how that grace is God's work on man's behalf. It's not earned, it's not merited. We understand this in salvation, and we use faith to enter into that grace and make it personal for us. We see Lord's coming, it's of grace. It's all Lord's doing. We've trusted that fully to his hands, I hope, the time, the hour, the day, and we, by faith, we've left that in his hands. And so it is in our daily walk. It's by grace that God is offering to us a present victory now over all sin, every sin, because the grace is the very nature of Christ. And more than that, we receive it by faith. But we're living by the faith of the Son of God. Christ is actually indwelling us, so we have more than just a victory we have to receive and take. No, we have a victorious life implanted in us through God's indwelling. So Christ is in us. So just as his righteousness is ours for salvation, so his holy life is mine for sanctification. So that means victory is really resting in what Christ has done, not anything left he has to do. If he won the victory, then the battle's already fought. Imagine a day you get up, and I like to think of it as God is handing me a victorious day. All the battles, they're checked off. They're won. They're already won for me. Wow, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And that's what we have in Christ. Now you say, oh, do you mess up? I do sometimes. You know, the Bible does say we still have this flesh, but I have the power and the victory given me. It's always a matter of my will where I have purposely rejected grace and not received it by faith. It wasn't because it wasn't there. So Christ hath made us free. Now, some may disagree with this at first, but I believe true victory is effortless. I didn't think that at first because there's two sides to every coin, and this message can't cover all the Christian life. I know there is work to be done in the Lord's work. But to this narrow scope wherein we're talking, the victory Christ gives us, if it's grace, then it's not of works. It's received by faith. And so Christ has done all the work. We don't work for grace. We don't fight for grace. We don't pray for grace. It's given. We just receive it by faith. So it's not about trying. It's about us trusting. Now, victory is not a suppression of myself. It's not trying to do something. It's the expression of Christ's life. So, like, I read a story one time of this old Quaker lady, and she would, really irritated sometimes, and people would maybe she taught a Sunday school class, I don't know, but she would sometimes things would really get to her skin, and people were like, well, but she wouldn't really show it. She just had a way about her that it appeared not to ruffle her. You could kind of see some things going on inside, but someone said, wow, I wish I had that victory you have. I wish I could, be as calm and collected and kind as you are. He said, oh, you ought to see. I'm sweet on the outside, but I'm boiling over on the inside. And that's a picture of Christ's life. No, it's not. That's self-restraint, and God has given us a will. Believe it or not, we can do amazing things by the power of our will. By our power of our will, Adam sinned and brought the whole human race into bondage. But Christ's victory, if it's really his life in us, is not just trying to keep us from doing something, but I think when we really get a hold of it, it's allowing Christ to be victorious in us. So he's not just, it's not a suppression, but it's really, the victory is actually Christ living through us. That's what it's all about. So we're made a partaker of his holiness. Question, how can I have victory? We read about it. We talk about it. Are you saved? Then it sounds too simple, but we actually have the victory. God's given us the victory. If you're saved, you have the victorious life of Christ in you. You have the person of Christ in you. You have all the grace you need and all the faith you need. And for every trial and temptation that'll come, God's grace is extended yet again. 1 John 5:4-5. 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, even he that believeth on the Son of God? Let's see. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That sounds like if you're saved, you have this victory that overcomes the world. Now, maybe you're like me and you say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have that faith to always trust the Lord. I believe he would give me the victory if I just had faith to trust him, or I believe he'd answer a prayer or whatever it may be, but I just don't. Honestly, I've never sensed I was someone of great faith. But last year, I think I was getting ready to give a little thing for the camp out, and the Lord was showing me some things out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And you may be familiar with that. It's a great verse. And Paul says, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Yeah. I live by the faith. Let me be doubly sure here of what that says. I believe it's live by the faith of the Son of God. Yes. I just want to make sure before I preach a whole sermon on what isn't there. Right? I live by the faith of the Son of God. My faith in the Son of God, it might fail. What? Wait. You mean I'm actually living by his faith?
Amen.
Yeah. I can keep believing because it's not about my faith in God. It's about God's faithfulness to me through Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That's not going to fail. So in essence, I don't have to understand it all even, but I can exercise faith that God, it's just the simple faith in God's word, those promises that we believe that what Christ is doing for us. And we could get into the shield of faith and so on, but we will pass for tonight because like Pastor said, there's food waiting. So I took that hint. I hope we won't be long. It's a question. Are we trying to win the victory? Are we still? You see, two people, it's hard for two people to do the same thing at once when it's a one-person job. And Jesus will do just a fine job at it. He has for the centuries to everybody who's trusted him. And the only way two people cannot have to allow one person to do it is one of them have to say, you do it. That's not hard, is it? And that's what we have to do with the Lord. I can remember different times in my life where I was really struggling with things. And it was just, you know, it takes time for God to get through to us sometimes because we're so hard-hearted and hard-headed and whatever. We don't take time to listen, but it's like God would finally say, you are trying to do this instead of letting me do it. And it's really a surrender where we are giving up an aspect of our life, are trying to win something, are trying to get the victory. We thought we were laboring. I thought I was laboring in God's power. I thought it was a good thing that I was trying to overcome or maybe do, but it's just that we suddenly see it from a different perspective, how that it's really been us. And so that comes with surrender. It's that just, you know, telling the Lord, Lord, I'm willing that your whole will be done in my life, you know, now and forever, whatever it costs. And, you know, it's easy to think, well, I haven't surrendered enough, you know, because, I sinned again or something happened. But I think that's a lie of Satan where to each new problem brings a new surrender. But it's don't let this devil just say you'll never surrender enough so you'll never walk in this holy life. Jesus said he talked about it like we could have it now. And I think that's exactly what God means. So victory comes when we cease from our efforts and trust Christ to do it all. Now, what about... Now we're to the section where thoughts, miscellaneous thoughts on victory. What about where the Bible says, crucify the flesh, mortify the flesh, right? Put off the old man, put on the new man, walk in righteousness, walk in love, walk in the Spirit. That sounds like something I need to be doing, right? How does this relate? Well, first of all, what God told us to do, he never intended us, he never tells us to do it in our own strength. He never did. And remember that I think it's just other expressions. The Bible uses a lot of pictures to show us the same thing. And so when you look deeply at these, you find that each one comes with the empowerment to do it by the Lord. And so it's just a different way of looking at the same concept, that our God in me, his spirit dwelling in me, and so Christ dwells in me through that, is supreme. And when that he is enthroned, my conduct and such will be otherwise. How is he enthroned? I surrender. You see? So it's a way of looking at the same thing. And when he's enthroned, his will is being done, and I'm walking in the Spirit, and that's the victorious life. So there's one victorious life, and that is Christ. And it's just head knowledge till God makes it clear to us through his Spirit what it's really all about. It's just verses, but if we want to know more about it, the Holy Spirit will teach us. And I trust maybe you've taken some notes. Now, what do you do if you fail? Real briefly here. What if we fail? Does that mean we just ruin it all and maybe we'll have to wait till another message comes along and get back on track? No. Because we just failed to receive grace. It wasn't God who failed. And so in that moment, Satan wants to keep us down, to keep us from the victorious life. And at that moment, faith has to respond. And maybe by our very tiny, puny faith, we have to receive the faith of Christ to even have faith, in the sense. God gives us faith to trust him, but maybe we have to receive Christ's faith to trust the victory. You see how that will work, but it's in that moment, claiming your victory in Christ, that Christ has not failed. And once again, you are made a conqueror. He says, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we go on in victory. We go on in power. We go on in Christ's life. Two verses. We'll close with these. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31 sum this up very nicely. Great verses to memorize. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That pretty much covers the whole Christian life when you study that out. Why? Why did God make it of grace? Why does he make it of through faith? Why does he make the victory all in Christ? Why can't I have some part in this? Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why it is. That's why Christ is the victorious life and he forever shall be. And he'll be exalted. He is exalted. And he'll be praised in heaven. He redeemed us. He bought us. He won the victory through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? That's going to be the song, not about how we did and how we got some victory. It'll be through Christ. And that's will be it all. So I pray that the Lord will just, as we meditate on his word, like he tells us to, it'll start to click and make sense. And it'll just add a deeper insight into more of who I am, who the Bible says I really am, not how I feel about myself or what I believe about myself, but who does God say I am in Christ and who is Christ in me? Let's pray. Dearest Lord, thank you that you are so much more than maybe we've even imagined. And we have far more authority and power in you than maybe we've even begun to know or to realize, such that you said all things are yours and you're Christ and Christ is God's. I pray you'd make these things clear to our hearts, more than just something else we know, but really something we're living by, so that the world waits for our life, which is Christ's life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.